right here where we want to be on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister and got some of my posse here today. Hang on, just let me get your mic on, Pastor Jim. What'd you say?
Posse?
Yeah, my posse. My crew. I don't know. Whatever you guys are. My wonderful, wonderful associates. What a joy to be here live with you today. Get their mics on. And we're just kind of running. I was running from where we just came from, nursing home ministry, just now at Palm Garden. And I cannot believe, but it's been close to 7 years since we started that ministry, Pastor Jim, at Palm Garden Nursing Home the first Sunday of every month. And every time is a blessing, but today was wild.
Today was
wild.
The only thing I can say is today was anointed.
Woo!
And I wish I could remember, not that it's that important, but we were singing one of the songs, and I have to say, I mean, all of a sudden it seemed like the volume mm-hmm. of every, I mean, it's like everybody who was there was singing on key at the top of their lungs.
On key, that was good.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, right. All of a sudden it's like, well, heaven was singing with us.
It was.
And it's like, at that point, the Holy Spirit fell.
Oh, beautiful service today at Palm Garden. There wasn't room for another wheelchair in that place.
No.
I mean, we had a really good crowd, and so interesting. Some of them can hardly speak and carry on a conversation, but in all these times of going there for ministry, we've seen this so many times, and we saw it again today. Some of the very ones that cannot carry on a conversation remember to us the words to the old songs that we use when we go there. And we use those old songs on purpose. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, or Amazing Grace, or you know, How Great Thou Art. I mean, I think that's when it was. Oh, wow, that hit. How Great Thou,
Maybe
How Great Is
it.
Our God. And then we went into How Great Thou Art, and then Amazing Grace.
Then you went back to How Great Is Our God, and
yes.
Then Amazing Grace. That's when it happened.
That's when it happened.
It's like heaven joined in.
You know what? It is a joy to be able to serve God in that arena of ministering to folks who so want to hear the word and sing those songs. Nan, were you blessed today?
Oh, most definitely. I was really blessed, but I forgot her name already, but that lady that sang.
Eileen,
yeah. That was very
the
awesome.
Daughter of
the
one
daughter,
of the residents,
yes.
Used to sing off-Broadway in Jesus Christ Superstar, she told us today, and she ended up singing, and that was an amazing song that she did. And just the participation around the room, it was just... It was great. I was shocked by the number of residents that knew the words to that song.
It was
Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know those words.
I didn't either.
But I mean, it was like, whoa. So we are thrilled to be here with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along with me today are part of my posse crew here. Yeah, my posse crew.
Yeah, that would be us.
That would be you.
That is us.
My associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, that's been with me now, these many years.
Going on nine.
We're in our 16th year of Beacon of Hope, getting ready to celebrate that anniversary in October. And Nan Watson, what a joy you are.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing, all the stuff you do around the ministry. And we are joined by about six others on this radio team that take turns. And I'm always here as much as I possibly can be. I say that, but lately it seems like I've been traveling quite a bit. So Pastor Jim hosts when I'm out of town, and he enjoys it and loves it. 2 weeks from today, he'll be doing that when I'm in Texas.
Yes, I will.
When I'm in Texas, absolutely spoiling my 12th grandchild.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I know. Is that crazy or what? So little Joel Chase was born to Martin Candy almost 2 weeks ago, not quite. And so I go out and get a chance to spoil him for a few days. So pretty cool. You know, the blessings of the Lord, they maketh rich, and they add no sorrow to it. That's Proverbs 10:22. And so often we just kind of don't see how blessed we really are. You know, and we are, folks. No matter what is going on in your life, there are blessings. Sometimes they seem a little hidden, but God just wants to bless you so much today through this show, Nan.
Well, you're talking about the blessings.
Not just Nan, but everybody.
I wanted to share briefly about counting your blessings. It was kind of laid up on my heart, and what I do, I have my phone set alarm every hour from 7 in the morning till 9 at night. And when that alarm goes off, that is a signal to count my blessings, because we get so caught up in the day.
And you do it at work, too.
I do it. Yeah. Well, as soon as when it goes off, I let my principal know. When you hear that go off, I'm not getting a call. I'm just counting my blessings.
What does she say to
she
that?
She just looked at me with a crazy look and thought, I told the new AP that, the same thing. And, you know, I don't want them to think I'm getting all those phone calls, because I'm not. But,
right.
The different ones around me are learning. So some of them are saying, I'm going to count my blessings, too. So it's kind of cool. Well,
there you go.
When mine goes off, other people are counting their blessings, too. So you said that, and it made me think of
we
that.
Are so blessed. We are so blessed. And you are so blessed, dear listener, today. Because God is so present in our lives. God is going to be so present in the show. And we stand back after these shows, during these shows, and we are just praising God. The show right before us, those dear ones, Truth Talk, gave a word to us back in October about the fresh new anointing on this show, because the show's been going on. We're in our 11th year now. And we received it, and we have been enjoying that fresh new presence of the Lord. What a joy. What a joy. If I'm a tiny horse, it's because I have been singing my lungs out for the last hour and a half. So not an hour and a half, but a half hour ago or something like that. Pastor Jim, would you start with prayer today? Let's get going.
I surely will. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being able to share your word. Father, we just ask that an anointing, the anointing that already rests upon the word, would just be magnified through us. Father, we just commit ourselves and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We ask that everything we do, everything we say, be what you want done. Lord, we pray that you will accomplish in our lives and in the lives of all of our listeners the things that you want to accomplish. Father, we pray that there would be salvation, deliverance, healing, that people would return to you this day. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to start right off with the Chris Tomlin song, Sing, Sing, Sing. Gets it going, doesn't it? Here we go. Love it.
What's not to love about you? Heaven.
love that song. Sing, sing, sing. And that's all we're doing today. We're praising God with music, with our voices as we talk and share the word of God. And he gets all the glory and the praise for what's about to happen in our lives. Not just ours, but in yours, dear listener. Nan, what did God give you during that song?
Sing unto me with all of your heart. If you don't do this, you need to start. I inhabit the praise that you offer to me. I will bless you, and you will be set free. Set free from the what holds you down. It will make a smile out of your frown. Sing unto me with all things that you face. You will make it through it all with my grace. So sing, sing, sing unto me with all of your heart. Do it now. Go ahead and start.
Wow, that was great. God and his sense of humor. And some of you may wonder, how does that happen that Nan's got that poem? Is she? It's right off of the boilerplate right now, the Holy Spirit, I like to call it, as he moves in through her so often, he speaks to us in poetry. Not through me. I've never had that happen to me. But he does so often speak to us through prophetic words, and in this case, poetry, whatever, because we want to hear what God is saying to our hearts today. We're going to Genesis chapter 32. We've been in a very long series. Right, Pastor Jim? It's like 12 weeks already.
Yeah, Precious Promises.
Precious Promises, and it's been amazing. And we'll tell you more about our Facebook posts later, but on Wednesday nights at 7:30, except for this past one when my phone was broken, we have a Facebook post that we do at the end of our Bible study, and where we are, there's so many of them online now. You put them all on our Beacon of Hope Ministries Facebook page, right?
Yes, I do.
And so you can find them. And so you can kind of catch up with the series, is my point, by going to those Facebook posts. And you can kind of figure out what the series has been about. But we've been giving promises every single week that will help people in their walk with the Lord. And what a joy. Do you want to comment on this series, Pastor Jim, at all?
Well, it's been great because we've looked at God's faithfulness through the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promises he made and how he fulfilled them, because that way, you know, we can see God would make the promises, and it may take a little while, like Abraham had to wait 25 years for Isaac to
exactly.
be born.
Right.
But it still happened.
Right.
And God promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them the land. And that didn't happen for 400
years. A long
years.
Time.
Yeah.
400 years.
Yeah, 400 years that the Israelites spent in Egypt before they even re-entered the promised land.
Exactly.
But yet God is faithful. And if anything, this series has taught me he's faithful. So when God gives you a
yes,
promise.
Yes, me too.
Mm. You know, when he gives you a promise.
Right.
He will fulfill it.
Absolutely. And so often it's not in the timing we would prefer a lot of times.
Right.
It's so often not in, God, I want this answer by next Tuesday at 3:00 is kind of funny when we do that. We all do it at some point in our lives saying, God, I need this answer now or I need it tomorrow. Go ahead, PJ.
And the timing and also, I guess, the how
right.
of its fulfillment. You know, that I think of Jacob. You know, it was prophesied, it was promised he would have preeminence over his brother Esau.
Right.
And yet he just had to take things into his own hands.
Of course, we don't ever do that,
we
PJ.
We never do that, right? You know, none of us has ever tried to manipulate God.
No, we don't do that, no.
But I mean, you know, sometimes it's not just the timing where we. But it's also, well, maybe if I do this, this person will get saved. Or,
right.
You know, maybe if I do this, God will answer my prayer. And that's just manipulation.
Right.
You know, God will answer when he answers and in the way that he wants to answer. I mean, even Abraham tried to push that. Well, actually, Sarah did. By giving Abraham Hagar.
Right.
Well, here, you can have a son through her. And God said, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, thank you, and I will bless Ishmael because he's your son, but Isaac is the son of the promise.
Right. And that's one thing I think in this series we've been seeing, how God makes the promise. And so often, as you just said, we try to take it into our own hands and make it come out at the time and the way that we want. And, you know, sometimes it's a long time frame before we see the promise fulfilled. And right. That's okay. You know, I want to start today with Genesis 31, verses 38 to 42, and then we're going into 32, chapter 32. But this is when Jacob makes his case to his father-in-law after having lived and served Laban, his father-in-law, for 20 years. And Laban cheated him. Laban deceived him. Laban had him work 7 years for his bride Rachel, and then on the wedding night he deceived him and gave him Leah, the older daughter, instead of the one that Jacob was in love with. So he ended up working 14 years just to end up with these two wives, and then another 6 years to accumulate his property. So after a big discussion in Genesis 31, and you can catch it later, verse 38, I love it, Ed, because Jacob is stating his case to his father-in-law. He says, in the 20 years I've worked for you, ewes and she-goats never miscarried. Okay? Very important here, folks. A concept that God wants to teach us is that we are to state our case to him so that we remind him, hey, here's this promise, God. So Jacob is saying to Laban, I never feasted on the rams from your flock. I never brought you a torn carcass killed by wild animals, but that I paid for it out of my own pocket. Actually, you made me pay whether it was my fault or not. I was out in all kinds of weather, from torrid heat to freezing cold, putting in many a sleepless night. Now here's Jacob saying to his father-in-law again, for 20 years I've done this. I've slaved away 14 years for your two daughters, another 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not stuck with me, you would have sent me off penniless. But I love this, and I'm reading now the Message Bible. But God saw the fix I was in, and how hard I had worked, and last night rendered his verdict. In other words, the discussion they had, now Jacob was able to leave with his family, his two wives, their maids, his 11 children, and head back towards the promised land. But I love here how Jacob realizes that he did all this, and yeah, he was cheated, but he's starting a new day here in his life. And I really believe this is a new season. My oldest son looked at me last night in a discussion we were having, and he said, I think this is a new season for you. And I thought, that's interesting. I do too. Or was that this morning? I'm not sure. We've had so many talks. But the point was, sometimes we enter a new phase, a new season, a new time in our lives where God is doing something suddenly, maybe something new, something surprises sometimes. This is the bridge right here where Jacob is leaving the past and going into his blessings. You want to comment on that, PJ? And we'll get Nan's comment in a minute.
That's going to fit so well into 32 because I mentioned Wednesday when I taught on this.
Yeah.
Jacob basically has a conversion experience
exactly.
in this chapter.
Yes.
And this was, he comes to the realization in chapter 31, if it hadn't been for the God of Abraham and
That's
Isaac.
That's right. Yes.
If it hadn't been for them, I would have been penniless.
Right.
So he comes to realize that God has been working this whole time.
Yes.
And then he faces an even bit, not just, you know, Laban, his father-in-law, chasing after him. In 32, there's the issue of that, the hatred between him and Esau after what he did to Esau. He's even more afraid. So it's an even bigger challenge.
Right.
But it gets an even bigger result.
Right. And how like us, and Nan, you can weigh in here in just a minute, how like our lives too. We sometimes have those seasons where we've really messed up, or where we have pulled away from God, or we have not been serving him like we really know in our heart we should. And then something happens and we are propelled right back to the presence of the Lord. And we have to acknowledge that, God, if you hadn't been taking care of me, I wouldn't be right here where I am. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, I'll try to say this without crying. It's too early to cry.
Oh, my gosh. Are we having another one of those? I'll tell you, the last few shows have been, the presence of God, and there have been a lot of crying. But go ahead, Nan. With or without cry, it's fine.
With or without crying. Well, you know, I was actually going to... send out an email to several of you at Beacon, who I've come to love so much, and just... praising God, it's been 7 years since I've been at Beacon. This month is 7 years.
Whoa, cool.
And I was reflecting upon how much I have grown and learned during that 7 years and not walked away from God. Because there was a time in my life when I was very close to Him and doing His work and what He wanted me to do. And then after a situation that happened in a church that was very bad, I kind of didn't really overly trust people after that point. And I was in two or three different churches and liked the people, but I just really wasn't serving Him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't serving Him the way He wants us to serve Him and communing with Him and spending time with Him. And for the last 7 years, you know, there was a little rough patch with me for a little while, but it was nothing that I was walking away from God.
Right.
So I can reflect back on 7 years this month.
Cool.
That I've really been serving God.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah, and we have those times where we're just not as close to God and where we are doing our own thing. But the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives draws us back, you know? That song we do sometimes in worship, "Draw Me Close to You," you know? And He does. He draws us. He uses people in our lives to bring us to a fresh new realization of Him. And I was able to minister today after we left our service at the nursing home at the bedside of someone who helped me start Beacon 16 years ago, who is now a patient at Palm Garden. Her daughter got a hold of me. Her daughter moved away from this area a long time ago, but her daughter got a hold of me from Facebook and said to me this morning, "I believe my mother is going to be at your service today." And then she was not physically able. But then we went to her bedside and we were able to minister to her. And just how blessed. She's crying. She is so happy and praising God. And just how God brings people and situations around in our lives, Pastor Jim. I stand in awe of what He's doing right now in my life, my family, my extended family, who I've spent the last 4 or 5 days with at our lake house. Honestly, I am in awe at what God is doing in so many lives.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good.
Well, amen. Amen. And I think you're right. It's a new season for you, for the church. It's actually, I believe, a new season.
Amen.
For the whole church.
Right.
The body of Christ. For the body of Christ. If we get in on that.
Yeah.
It poured down rain. Was it yesterday? And I'm looking outside and I can see the stream forming in the middle of our street.
Sure.
And I was reminded of an old Michael and Stormy O'Mardian song.
Yeah.
Where, you know, that goes way
back.
I want to stay in the main stream. Mm. Don't want to be left on the shore.
Yeah.
And it talks about, you know, moving with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And in my heart, I felt that same thing, that it's that time. We got to move. Time's too short.
I agree. And we see that in Jacob's life. Time had come. 20 years had passed. Time had come. And it was time for this new season. And we have seen it in our ministry, but in particular in individuals, that it's a time for God is stirring people. And so I would say to you, audience out there scattered around the globe, because this show is played this Saturday and Sunday on Starcom Radio Network in 55 cities across the United States and 8 or 9 countries, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern every Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, and for whenever you listen, whether you're listening in some other foreign country, we do hear from people in other countries. It is amazing to me that God does these things in the body of Christ, and they seem to flow together. Don't you think, Pastor Jim, with other ministries, other people, it's like the Holy Spirit has an assignment to draw people to him, and just it's happening. We're seeing it.
Yeah. Well, without getting too end of the world-ish.
Sure.
It's that the time is short.
Right.
And I believe the work is quickening. The work is speeding up. Because we don't have a lot of time.
Right.
And, you know, what I spoke about today at the nursing home about the kingdom of God being within us.
So good.
Wherever each one of us goes, if we believe, we take the kingdom with us.
Amen.
It's not, the kingdom of God is not based at this point until Jesus comes back in Jerusalem or Washington.
Right.
Or Moscow or Paris.
Right.
It's based inside of each one of us.
Amen.
And wherever we go, we can take the kingdom. We can take God's righteousness, God's peace, and God's joy with us and share the kingdom with others. And that's
it.
That's really what he's called us to do, because that's what's going to get people draw them back to him.
And that's a perfect segue to the song that you didn't even know what I was thinking about playing next. And lately, I've just been bringing CDs and just letting the Holy Spirit show me at the time during the show instead of having it so pre-planned. And here it is, Show Me Your Ways by Hillsong. Love this song. One of my favorites. Fits right here. Make it your prayer.
The cry of my heart is to love.
Praise God. I love that song. Love that song. Show me your ways. That's the cry of our hearts today on Living the Good Life. Nan, did you get another poem? I see you signaling me through the glass in there.
I did. I will show you the way that you need to walk with me. You will see the path. It will be there to be seen. I will show you the way. Trust me and follow it. You need not be on the sidelines where you just see while you sit. I will show you the way. I see the sincerity in your life. You'll be okay in all you face. You'll be lifted above your strife. I will show you the way. Just listen to what I speak to you. You will clearly see me, and I'll show you what to do. I will show you the way.
Wow. Praise God. Whoa, praise God. And that is a word from God to somebody out there, or to a lot of us. Wow. All right. We're going into Genesis 32, and I love this chapter. And there's so much here, so we'll just see how much we get through, because we don't want to rush it, and we want to give it what it really needs. But it starts out that as Jacob actually leaves where he's been for 20 years serving his father-in-law, that angels of God meet him as he goes. I love this, Pastor Jim. When Jacob saw them, he said, oh, God's camp. And he named the place
Mahanaim.
There you go. I can't pronounce it, but you can. Campground. In this setting, it's interesting because we assume he's walking, he's out walking with the family, right? Headed towards back home mm-hmm. to where his parents are and where Esau, his brother, is. And as he's walking, the angels of God meet him, or maybe they've camped ground. Maybe they're camped out for the night. Kind of sounds that way because they call the place campground. Kind of cool. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, because the word in Hebrew means double campground. It was Jacob's and the angels.
Okay.
And
double campground. Love it.
I've got the Amplified. I love this new Amplified version. Okay. That came out, and it says, then as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him to reassure and protect him.
Oh, wow. Oh, I like that. To reassure and protect him, and that's what it is.
And how cool is that? I mean, here's Jacob and the 11 boys and the four wives. And I mean, and then, as we find out later, these huge flocks of animals
yes.
and servants.
Right.
And all of a sudden these angels are there.
Isn't that what God does, though?
I mean, that is, and I think that gave him enough courage, because he said, this is God's camp, so he named
yes.
it Mahanaim, double campground.
Right.
Okay, so we got the angels over here and me over here, and I think that gave him enough courage, and God does that. He gives us enough courage
yes.
for every step, because the next thing he does is send messengers to Esau.
Right.
I mean, he could have, I suppose, tried to have snuck back in, you know, to Canaan and avoided Esau altogether, because Esau was living way south down by the Dead Sea. So he could have conceivably snuck into Canaan. But for whatever reason, he decided to send messengers to his brother and, you know, to tell them, I've been with Laban for 20 years. I'm sending you this stuff so that I can find grace in your sight. I mean, he was sending him all these gifts.
Right.
Kind of as a forgiveness thing.
Right.
You know, I'm really sorry I stole your birthright and your blessing.
Right.
You know, some 20 years ago. And, you know, I don't know if he knew how Esau was going to react.
Oh, I don't think he did, because I think you can see on down in a couple of verses, he's afraid of how he's going to react. But what's so interesting is that he approaches this difficult family matter with humility. Mm-hmm. And I like that point right here. His attitude, Jacob's attitude, is not like, I'm just going to roll over you again, you know?
Right. Well, as we find out later, and I brought this out on Wednesday, later on, there's an incident and he comes away with a broken hip.
Right.
A mauled hip.
Yes.
So he always had to walk with a limp. And I think that was done to always remind him
yes.
of this chapter, of this experience in
yes.
his life, Because, yes, I believe he was humbled.
Oh, I totally agree.
And that was a physical reminder of what it took to humble him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when we get, I don't know, sometimes we get to a place in life where we realize that maybe we've been estranged from somebody or relatives or somebody, and you really want to make up for past hurts and whatever. It's a cornerstone of the AA program, the NA program about making amends. Mm-hmm. And it's a spiritual concept. It's a biblical concept that there are times in our lives where in order to move on with our life, we need to settle some things and we need to reach out in humility, not, you know, I don't know why I'm bringing up the AA program right now, but I respect it and we've had experience with it in our church family. And it's so interesting that it really is about humbling yourself and acknowledging that in your own strength, you can't fix these problems. Right. That's what we all need to be doing. That's what Jacob was doing. Nan, you want to talk about that? The humbling thing is important here.
Well, I'd like to share a personal experience.
Okay.
That just came to mind. I normally don't think about or talk about. I was in an abusive relationship with my husband. And we decided to divorce. And one time, I mean, that was during a period when I was really serving God. And God said to me, ask your ex-husband, at the time still my husband, we were in the process, ask him to forgive you for what all you did in contributing to the thing. And I'm like going, but wait a minute, God, he was the one who was abusive of me. But yet there were little subtle things maybe that I did. So it took a little, not a real long time, but a few days to come to grips with, I've got to ask my ex-husband to forgive me. So he was returning our child to me. One day, and I walked out there to where he was because we never went to each other's houses, only property, the whole bit. And I went out to him and I said, you know, I'd just like to ask you to forgive me for what I did in contributing to, the situation that we have now. He looked at me, said, you really don't mean that, and sped away. Well, I said all that to say this, we can make amends. But we're not responsible for if the person accepts that or not. That we've humbled ourselves, we've done what we need to do, then we're clear. I mean, we've done our
absolutely
part.
Absolutely.
And how they choose to react or respond, it doesn't matter because we've done what we need to do humbly.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. Go ahead, PJ.
I was going to say, that's not easy to do because remember, was it 2 years ago? God told me to do the same thing. With my ex-wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to my daughter about it, and I told her, I said, this is going to sound crazy, but there are things that I did that precipitated the end of my marriage.
Right.
And I said, I really feel like God's telling me I need to write this letter. And Nan, you're right on. It's like we do that, and it's off of us. I mean,
right.
We're being obedient.
That's right.
And whatever happens, then it's on that person. They need to deal with that.
Right.
And whatever happens, happens. And I think Jacob was in that same kind of boat. I've got to do this. Whatever happens, happens.
Right. Excellent point. And so for any of us out there that are struggling with relationships that need to have some healing, pray about it. And then God may direct you to write a letter, send a message, whatever, or have a talk. But whatever it is, in this case with Jacob, he did this in faith, not knowing what was going to happen. And so he sent messengers to Esau, and the messengers came back in, I don't know what verse this is, I can't see, about verse 6 maybe. Mm-hmm. And they said, we talked to your brother Esau, and he's on his way to meet you, but... This is how it says in the Message Bible. Let's see what it says in yours, PJ. But he has 400 men with him. And the very next verse in verse 7 says, Jacob was scared, very scared and panicked. Okay, so, I mean, sometimes it appears that people aren't going to receive our apology or our humbling of ourselves. And fear and panic, the devil loves that to cause us to not want to make amends because what if I say this, what's going to happen? You know,
I can just hear Jacob going, yikes. Yeah.
Right.
400 men.
400 men.
And I'm sure Jacob had, I mean, we know he had servants. They were probably mostly shepherds taking care of those flocks. So he didn't have any sort of fighting men. And they just say it's men. You know, we don't know if it's warriors coming with Isaac. I mean, but you're right. I mean, and
Esau.
Esau. And, you know, Jacob, it says here, was greatly afraid and distressed. Yeah. I can understand why. He doesn't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
Is Esau coming? Is this just Esau's entourage? Or is this Esau's army?
Right, to come get you, you know. But I think it's so interesting that he does this in humility. He reaches out and all that. He knows he's God's told him he's going back to the promised land, going back to his home. And yet fear attacks him. Jacob was scared, it says, very scared and panicked. And I think this is a very good lesson for all of us, that sometimes we step out, God says, I want you to make amends with this person. And maybe we don't get the reaction we want, or maybe in just reaching out, they don't respond. And we panic, we get scared, or we think they're not receiving my apology or whatever. And so often, it's circumstances that are going on. Maybe they didn't get your message, or maybe whatever. But the devil will work over time to keep us from making amends and settling things. The devil wants you scared and panicked to make things better. And then it's like Nan said, it's not up to us to see, to choose how they receive it. It's up to that person.
Right, right. Well, and Jacob did two things. He did one natural thing, and then he did one spiritual thing.
Right.
The natural thing, he divided his people into two camps.
Right.
And then in verse 9, he prayed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know how we get those little revelations every so often. It's like I never saw this prayer in here before until I read through it this time. And it's so wonderful. Talk
verse
about
9 of Genesis 9. 32.
It's, talk about humility. I mean, he says in verse 10, well, in verse 9, I love it. He reminds God.
Yes.
You told me to return here.
I love it. Yes. You know,
now, but he says in 10, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and compassion and of all the faithfulness you've shown to your servant. With only my staff, long ago I crossed over this Jordan, and now I have become blessed and increased into these two groups of people.
Wow.
You know, he just says, that's the humility. I'm not worthy of what you've done for me. And then he says, save me from the hand of my brother. You know, save me. He's very specific. Save me from the hand of my brother. I fear him that he'll come and attack me and the mothers and the children. And then he says, and you, Lord, said, I will certainly make you prosper and make your descendants as numerous as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be counted. So Jacob reminded God of promises at the beginning and the end of this prayer here.
Yes.
But he was very honest. I'm not worthy of all this, and I need your help. Save me from Esau.
Well, I think it's so good that he was so going to God. Here's the situation. This is what I'm up against. I'm not exactly sure what to do here, but God, I remind you, you told me to do this, and you are my God. I serve you, and help me here. And that's really what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be going to God with our petitions and really openly and prayerfully say, God, here it is. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's the panic I'm feeling. Last week on the show, God led us to a verse about anxiety, and I'll look it up here again in a minute, but it's David says, when my anxieties multiply within me, Psalm 94, I just remembered it. It's in Psalm 94. There you are. When my anxieties, you give me peace. Let me look up exactly what verse that was, but it was such a blessing. Psalm 94, look, starting with verse 14, I think it's about verse 17 or so. When my anxieties, you want to find that, PJ, and read that in your Amplified.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to love it in the Amplified.
It's great. Psalm 94:19. or 14 to 19.
You want 14?
Well, just go ahead with wherever you feel led to
all
start.
Right, 14, no. Well, 14 is great. For the Lord will not abandon his people.
There you go.
Nor will he abandon his inheritance. For judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Who will take a stand for me against those who do wickedness? If the Lord had not been my help,
yes,
I would have soon dwelt in the land of silence.
Woo.
If I say my foot has slipped, your compassion and loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up.
Mm.
When my anxious thoughts multiply within me,
that's it.
Your comforts delight me.
Woo! Don't you love that?
I love that.
That was such a blessing last week on the show. I think it was Betty and Angel, and we got to that, and then it was just like they were both going, I needed that today. I needed that today. So when my anxieties and my panic multiplies within me, you're right there. It's what we call a defining moment, and that's why I'm going to do this song in just a moment. But, Nan, talk about this, if you will, because there are times in our lives where we're going along, and then the fear, the panic, the anxiety hits, and it almost paralyzes us.
It does. Not in the Bible I have, but in another Bible that was my study Bible, there were so many things I marked in it as I was going through. There again, I mean, I can just relate to the divorce. It was bad. And the threats that I'm taking him and all the petty crap that goes on. You know, but I stood strong many times, and the times that I didn't stand strong, I mean, I've got marked in the Bible, 4 a.m. in the morning, God woke me up and gave me this. You know, 3:30 in the morning, God woke me up and gave me this. And it was all just so comforting out of his word that he let me know, look, I'm in control. You're going to be okay. And he, the scriptures that he would give me comforted me.
Yes.
It comforted me and let me know I was going to be okay. And it would help with my stress level because God said I was going to be okay.
Oh, amen. In the Message Bible, it says something like this. When my anxieties multiplied within me, your consolations were my delight and my joy. And that's what you're saying, Nan and PJ, that when we are under a lot of pressure, anxiety, we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know how we're going to pay our bills. We don't know what about this diagnosis, whatever. When our anxieties multiply within us, we have to get in the Word of God. That's what this show is all about. That's what Beacon of Hope Ministries is all about. Our slogan for 16 years has been, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We have these defining moments, BJ. We have these times like Jacob right here where he could have given in and turned around and gone back to Laban. He could have returned. So many people return instead of move forward.
Right. He could have turned around and went back to Laban, but he said, God, you promised to bring me back.
Yes.
And here I am. And you know what could happen with Esau.
Right.
And yeah, I almost look at it as Jacob's conversion.
Mm.
I said that on Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
that this is almost like Jacob's conversion moment when he says, I can't do it anymore. Now,
right.
He wasn't like so many, like all of us. He wasn't perfect. He still did his share of manipulating after this. But he had that defining moment when he said, God, I can't deceive my way out of this one.
Whoa.
I need your help.
We need this moment in our lives. We need the problem we're facing right now because God's got an answer and a provision. Old song, love it, by the group New Song, Defining Moments.
There's a time in every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment. The moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ, He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, I am yours, Lord, take my hand and lead the way. When you believe He's all you need, that will be your defining moment as you find it.
That song, such great words. When you decide that all you need, I didn't get it right. I should have written it down. When you just see that that's all you need, he's right there. Yeah. That's a concept, but I didn't get the words right. Nan, did you give something?
I did.
Okay.
This is
your. She's busy today, aren't you?
Busy. Yes.
Woo!
He's so good, isn't he? This is your defining moment. Will you accept to believe this? You will feel so very different of the special gift. Don't miss. You need to have a defining moment in order to properly move on. I will help you and be with you. Through me, you will become strong. So, what will it be, little one? Will you have a defining moment? I am here and will be with you. I am helping you with this defining moment.
Wow. You know what? That is exactly what he wants to do in every one of our lives. And so often we get so hung up and on the details and the intricacies of our problems that we cannot see that God's right there with an answer. And we don't run to the Word and run to his presence like we should, PJ. That's where the key is. When my anxieties multiply within me, thy consolations, your counsel is my joy, my comfort.
Right. I mean, Jacob could have sat there and, again, thought about it and tried to figure out a way. Well, I've deceived him twice. Maybe I can do it again. But instead, he begged God. He asked God for help.
Yes.
And he reminded God of his promises, and that's what we have to do when we're up against it, to pray and grab a hold of the promise of God, whatever that is for you, for our situation.
Right.
And just meditate on it, confess it, pray
it. Exactly.
And humble ourselves before God.
That's what we have to do. That's all you have to do. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. We love having 2-hour show because it gives us plenty of time to get through everything we want to. Actually, not plenty of time, no. I take that back because, you know, it goes so quickly. It really does. So we have so much to cover. Anyway, we're glad you've joined us today. Normally, I would say we invite you to text me with any prayer requests you want prayed for live on the air today, but I walked in the station late without my phone. It's in the car, so can't do that. So if you have a prayer request, just send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com, and Pastor Jim or Betty or Shell will send out a request. Would you talk about that a little bit more, PJ?
Sure. We have a prayer line, and please send us your prayers. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. You know, no request too big, too small. Because you might think, well, this is just too insignificant. You know, why bother? Well, bother, please. Because we are a church that believes that God answers prayer. We are a church that believes that God will move on your behalf no matter what the issue is. And we're a church that will pray with you about that. All you need to do is send your request to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Again, either myself or Shell or Betty will pick it up. We'll write a prayer. We'll send it out to the prayer team. And we always ask, I always ask that when God answers your prayer, please send me or send in the praise report, because I have a little subfolder in my email that I keep all of those in.
Right. And we've seen so many tremendous answers to prayer over the years. But in the last year, there's been so many things. And we give God all the glory and the praise. We heard from one of our listeners over the weekend that had a very suspicious breast mass for the last few months and a lot of testing done. And we believed God for a benign result, and that came in on Friday afternoon. Much to my delight and joy to see how God answers. And it was frustrating because it took a few weeks of repeated imaging, repeated problems with equipment, on and on, delay. And this person said she just had to continue to hang on to God, and she did. And so that's another answer to prayer. We just keep getting them right and left, PJ, all over and over again, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm sitting here with a big old grin on my face.
Absolutely, because God answers prayer.
Amen, amen. And it doesn't matter how big or how small.
Right.
God will answer it.
Amen. Send it in, prayers at BOH.